Thank you all for joining me today. Over the past 2 months, Pennsylvanians in every corner of our Commonwealth have acted collectively to stop the spread of COVID-19. We've canceled gatherings. We've foregone visits to friends and family. We've skipped unnecessary trips to stores. We've worn masks in public and washed our hands over and over again. Each of these actions seems small individually, but taken together, they built a very powerful weapon against COVID-19. Working together, we Pennsylvanians have flattened the curve. We've seen our new case numbers stabilize all across the state. And while we still have areas where outbreaks are happening, we also have many areas that are having few or no new cases. So today, I'm announcing that beginning at 12:01 a.m. Friday, May 8th, next Friday, 24 counties will have some COVID-19 mitigation restrictions lifted. The counties moving from the red to the yellow phase are Bradford, Cameron, Center, Clarion, Clearfield, Clinton, Crawford, Elk, Erie, Forest, Jefferson, Lawrence, Lycoming, McKean, Mercer, Montour, Northumberland, Potter, Snyder, Sullivan, Tioga, Union, Venango, and Warren. We selected these counties in part because they have low per capita case counts. They were selected in part because we feel we're ready when it comes to activities like contact tracing and testing. And they were selected in part because of a variety of other factors identified by our epidemiologists and experts, such as population density. Dr. Levine will talk with you in just a few minutes about these criteria, including the contact tracing and testing plans we're putting in place. The 24 counties moving from the red phase to the yellow phase will have many businesses and other activities reopening with re-engineered business models. But they must continue to abide by the underlying message of yellow. Proceed with caution. This includes retailers that can implement social distancing measures, as well as services such as childcare. The yellow phase recognizes that outbreaks of COVID-19 are still possible. And operations that cannot allow for social distancing must remain closed. And so this includes gyms and theaters, casinos, restaurant dining rooms, and school buildings. We're asking everyone to limit social gatherings. Visits to places like nursing homes and prisons will still be prohibited. And all businesses will still need to operate under the orders and guidance that establish social distancing and cleaning protocols. Regardless of whether Pennsylvanians live in an area that continues to be under a stay-at-home order or if we're in a yellow phase county, we still need to continue to implement social distancing to the best of our abilities. Within the yellow counties, we'll need stores to use no-contact options, like curbside pickup and delivery, as much as possible. We'll need businesses to continue allowing workers to telework as much as possible. And we'll need Pennsylvanians to continue to stay physically away from one another as much as possible. Point is, every human-to-human contact is a chance for the virus to spread. So more contacts means a higher likelihood of an outbreak. And if we see an outbreak occur in one of the communities that has been moved to yellow, we're going to have to revert to the red category until the new case count falls again. So Pennsylvanians living in a county that has been moved to the yellow category should continue to strongly consider the impact of their actions. Likewise, Pennsylvanians living in a county that will continue to be under a stay-at-home order can make choices that will lead to fewer cases and a faster move to lifted restrictions. We know how this virus is transmitted, and we know that social distancing works. The fewer contacts between residents, the fewer opportunities for the virus to be transmitted, and the faster restrictions are going to be lifted. We're already looking at other counties to move from red to yellow categories. In particular, we have our eyes on the counties in the Southwest and a few in the South Central region that have lower new case rates, but where we still have a few concerns. We're going to be reopening facilities in these counties as quickly as we can, but we want to maintain public safety. As I've said before, the easing of restrictions depends on all of us working together to lower our new case rate. Pennsylvanians living in a county that is entering the yellow phase should continue to do things like social distancing that will allow them to move forward into the green phase, not backwards into the red phase. And Pennsylvanians living in a county that is remaining red on May 8th should aspire to have the same success using social distancing to prevent new outbreaks. Your actions will guide our future. We finally made it to the moment of starting to reopen our Commonwealth, and it has been a tough time for everyone. But even though we've had to separate ourselves physically to succeed, we've only made it here by working together. Every Pennsylvanian should feel proud of the work we all did to flatten this curve. And every Pennsylvanian should take this moment to feel motivated by the success we have had. I'm in awe of the kindness and strength shown by Pennsylvanians over the past few weeks. And I am eager to see us continue to work together to achieve a swift and safe reopening on May 8th in 24 counties and in many more counties to come in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to turn things over to Dr. Levine.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor. Here is our latest update on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. As of 12 a.m. this morning, we have 1,208 new cases of COVID-19. This brings our statewide total to 46,971 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19 in all 67 counties. Tragically, 2,354 patients who have tested positive for COVID-19 have passed away. To date, all of the deaths have been in adult patients. As of noon today, hospitals are reporting that approximately 2,677 patients are currently hospitalized due to COVID-19. 561 of those hospitalized have required the use of a ventilator or a breathing machine. Across our healthcare system, approximately 47% of hospital beds, 40% of our intensive care unit beds, and nearly 70% of our ventilators are still available. As Governor Wolf outlined today, there are 24 counties moving from the red to the yellow phase. As part of that process, we are providing our plans for contact tracing and testing to monitor for potential outbreaks in these counties. First, it is very important to understand what contact tracing is. This is an established public health protocol that the department uses actually in every disease investigation, including COVID-19. First, we receive a report of a positive test result in our electronic data surveillance system, and we've talked about that. It's called PA-NEDS. Then our community health nurses contact the patient and do a full case investigation to discuss their symptoms, collect demographic data, go over their risk factors, and in addition, they determine with whom they may have come into contact while they might have been infectious. We also do a case investigation when someone has been identified as a probable case, meaning that you have symptoms of COVID-19 and you have been in close contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. Our nurses actually remain in close contact with the patients to ensure their condition remains stable and they are following the isolation protocols. Next, our nurses and our public health staff notify the individuals who are contacts of the positive patient. To maintain privacy, they are only informed that they have come in contact with someone who has tested positive, but not that person's identity. Close contacts are required to quarantine for 14 days from the time of their last exposure. We discussed this months ago, isolation and quarantine. The department checks with them every day to ensure that they aren't developing symptoms and that they are maintaining their quarantine. As we move to adjust our mitigation efforts, we will bolster this case investigation and contact tracing process using additional personnel, technology, and improved workflows. Our strategy includes investing in an infrastructure focused on people, using innovative processes through technology tools and robust case investigations, partnering with the established healthcare community, and focusing on underserved and vulnerable communities. In the counties announced today, we will be able to use our current infrastructure of our community health nurses to initiate this important work. We will work to maximize the efforts of our case investigators and contact tracing teams by utilizing our partners in the healthcare system, academic institutions, volunteers, and hiring of personnel when that is needed. We'll also be using a new alert system that works alongside our disease surveillance system that will help with the daily check-ins with people who are positive and their contacts. In addition, we will be able to get more complete picture of the communities most impacted by COVID-19 by carefully collecting data such as race and ethnicity from the patients themselves. We know that Pennsylvanians living and working in large congregate settings, like long-term care or personal care facilities, food processing and packaging plants, correctional facilities, and in healthcare, are actually most at risk from an outbreak. We have special teams of our epidemiologists, our disease detectives, epidemiology research associates, master and doctoral students of public health, and a CDC senior policy advisor trained and assigned to work with facilities to contain outbreaks once they are identified. Now, in addition to the contact tracing efforts I just discussed, increased testing capacity is also a critical aspect of successfully moving counties from the red to the yellow phase. Our testing strategy focuses on ensuring that testing is accessible and available for all symptomatic Pennsylvanians, as well as adaptable to the evolving landscape of the virus transmission. To accomplish this, we plan to make testing widely available by partnering with existing community resources, such as retail pharmacies and FQHCs, federally qualified health centers. We are also preparing to target resources where they are most in need, such as in long-term care living facilities, nursing homes, and personal care homes. And we will continue to build our network of community-based testing sites, such as the site in Luzerne County, which has actually this week been very successful in terms of testing more and more patients. To secure the equipment and materials needed to do this testing, we are working closely with the Department of Community and Economic Development, as well as our other state agencies, such as PEMA, and our federal partners. Using our current incident command structure, the Department of Health will have the responsibility of determining who should be tested based upon the best science that is available. The Department of Community and Economic Development will proactively seek out FDA-approved testing resources and work with Pennsylvania companies to produce tests and the testing supplies that Pennsylvania needs. And the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, PEMA, will assist in deploying testing to communities. We will continually remain flexible in our testing strategy as the disease changes and progresses. New technologies are developed and more data is available. Our goal since this pandemic was first identified in Pennsylvania has been to save lives while ensuring that the public health system does not become overwhelmed taking care of people with COVID-19. Our contact tracing and testing plans will ensure that as we begin to safely resume our daily activities, we can do so safely and without fear. Now, here are my daily reminders. Please wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or the time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. Use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbow, not with your hands. Don't touch your face, especially after touching surfaces. Clean surfaces frequently. And if you have to go out for life-sustaining activities, please wear a mask if you're going to come into contact with others. If you have questions about your health, please contact your health care provider. And if you need mental health resources because you or someone you know is having a mental health crisis, please contact the crisis text line by texting PA to 741-741 or call the statewide support and referral helpline at 1-855-284-2494. Again, 1-855-284-2494. For the most reliable information related to Pennsylvania's response to COVID-19, please visit our website at health.pa.gov. And what is most important for Pennsylvanians to remember, stay calm, stay home, and stay safe. And now the governor and I are pleased to answer questions.
Thank you, Secretary. Our first question is for the governor. Governor, from WLVR News and WPSU, if cases of COVID spike in a county that has had some restrictions lifted, what are the metrics used to determine putting it back to the red phase, and how will that be announced and enforced?
Well, again, let's keep in mind what we're trying to do here is keep people safe. The same things that we looked at when we move someone from red to yellow, we will look at when we move them from yellow, if we have to, back to red. Again, I hate analogies, but the analogy I think here is like when we all learned to ride a two-wheel bicycle. Someone helped us and held on to the seat, unbeknownst to us. But at some point, we had to get out on our own, and the person helping us had to let go. And that's where we are right now. If we let go and let go too soon and the person falls down, then we've done it in the wrong way. We haven't kept our child safe. We haven't kept the state safe if we move too quickly, or if something happens in the yellow zone to make us move back to the red. We want to keep people safe. If people aren't safe, if the number of cases goes back up into critical territory, then we're going to have to say, you got to go back to the red category and try it again.
Governor, our next question is from WNEP. Some people who are currently working from home fear that when their county moves to the yellow phase, they'll be forced to return to an office that's too small to allow for social distancing. Do these employees have any kind of recourse, or do they have to follow the plan set out by the employer?
Now, again, I would think, as a former employer myself, that every employer will want to do everything to give his or her employees the confidence to come back to work. And that means they have to be safe. And if they don't feel safe coming back to work, they're not going to come back to work, and the employer is going to be in trouble. So I think this is one of those things that is going to be enforced by the reality of the virus. That virus is contagious. It's easy to infect somebody if we don't do the things we need to do. Whether you're an employer, whether you're a member of the family, whatever, if we don't do the right thing, this virus is going to spread. We can't afford to do that. No business can afford to do that. So I would think that businesses have every incentive to be very responsible, to encourage telecommuting when that's possible and when it's not, to make sure that employees who do come to work and have to be there physically are safe as long as they're there.
As a follow-up, WNEP also asks, as businesses gradually reopen and people get called back to work, we've had several viewers ask, will they lose unemployment benefits if they can't return to work because they have to stay home and care for their children, and what can you tell them?
Yes, and I'm not a lawyer on the exact nature of the unemployment compensation law, but I will have Lindsay make sure you get the answer to that question. Again, we want to make sure that we have people, I think, who have the access to child care while they work. I'm not sure the unemployment compensation system allows for that. But, Lindsay, will you make sure that you get that specific answer?
From the Philadelphia Inquirer, will the continued closure of Pennsylvania's license centers affect voter registration, particularly for new residents? And if so, how do you plan to address it?
It shouldn't. You can register to vote online. If you don't have a license online, you can apply using the last four digits, I think, of your Social Security number. But if even that's impossible, we need to make sure that people have the ability to vote. And again, Lindsay, if there's something that we can do to follow up on that, we will continue to work on that. But this should not be a hindrance to registering to vote.
From Penn Live, Governor, now that we have the first counties that will move into the yellow phase next Friday, is it your intention to do a weekly update as to the changes in color status from other counties, or will it be more frequent than that?
We haven't talked about the frequency of the updates. Again, we're trying to keep people safe. We'll go as fast in this process as we can. Again, we're teaching ourselves how to ride a two-wheel bicycle, and the faster we learn, the faster we can get into the yellow and beyond that into the green phase.
And also from Penn Live, can churches resume having services in the yellow phase provided they adhere to CDC guidelines?
The guidance we've given to religious institutions is they can have services, but I think most religious organizations have done everything they can to keep their congregants safe, and that means they've kept to we have a limit of 25 people gathering together. They've done services online, and they've done everything in their power to keep people from getting sick. And that will continue to be operational. The guidance is there. We can say this is what we'd like you to do. Religious organizations will do what they intend to do.
Thank you, Governor. Our next question is for the Secretary. Dr. Levine, WLVR News is asking, yesterday Little League canceled the World Series, which would have been played in August in South Williamsport. But Little League hopes that local leagues will start to play once it's safe. Would areas in the yellow phase be safe for organized practices and games outside as long as there were fewer than 25 people?
No, I'm sorry, but organized sports are not going to be allowed under the yellow phase. We would have to wait to the green phase for that to be allowed. As the governor has been saying, yellow means caution, and it would not be an exercise of caution to let team sports play.
From WPXI, Allegheny County and southwestern Pennsylvania have met the new case requirement. The hospitals have not been overwhelmed, and Allegheny County is expanding testing, as well as contact tracing in place and ready to go. Why isn't Allegheny County included with all the other counties in southwest PA that have met the governor's criteria? Mm-hmm. This is also from WESA and the Pittsburgh Business Times.
Sure. Well, as the governor has emphasized, we're taking a very careful, measured approach to ensuring that Pennsylvanians can resume work and the normal routines, or more normal routines, very safely. The Southwest region is not yet moving from red to yellow because particularly in Allegheny County and in Pittsburgh, because of population density. We have certainly learned from our modeling and our experts that population density is one of the main factors that can lead to significant spread of COVID-19. We certainly have seen that in major cities throughout the country and have seen the consequences, particularly in New York City. And so we felt it prudent that looking at all the different data and looking at all the metrics, but then taking consideration our ability to work with counties in terms of contact tracing and testing, and the population density of Allegheny County and Pittsburgh, that it was not prudent to go from red to yellow at this time. But we are hoping to do that in the future.
From the Capital Star, you said in your release that counties chosen to reopen had the ability to conduct contact tracing and testing. You spent the last week describing that a testing plan was still in the works. What does the testing and tracing look like on the ground in these counties that makes you confident that they can reopen? And how can you make sure other counties have the same access to testing and tracing?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I outlined our contact tracing measures in my opening remarks, as well as our expansion of testing. Actually, our community health nurses and other staff have already started to do contact tracing in some of those counties. And so they're going to be lead, and we're going to be working with officials in hospitals and health systems. We'll be working with volunteers, and then when we need to hire people, we will hire them to make sure that the case investigations and the contact tracing moves forward. We're also looking to expand testing significantly. We're looking to expand testing in those areas so that we can test actually 2% of the population in every region per month, which would lead to over 250,000 people being tested being tested each month. So we are looking to expand both, and looking forward to those counties moving from red to yellow.
From the Citizen's Voice, with the FDA poised to approve remdesivir to treat COVID-19 patients, do you envision this drug having a significant impact on the illness in Pennsylvania?
I think we'll have to see. I think it is very promising, and I said this yesterday, that remdesivir, pronounce that, is now FDA approved. There are several very, very positive studies. Now, this medication was a medication developed for Ebola. It is now being directed towards COVID-19. It's an antiviral medication. And it's not so much a cure as a medicine that can be used in very ill patients in the hospital to improve their outcomes and to try to limit the number of patients who have to go, for instance, to intensive care units and be on a ventilator. So I think it's very promising. The public health impact, we're going to have to see.
From WKOK, does Dr. Levine anticipate during the yellow phase numbers will increase and some our areas will have to go back to red? Do you foresee this in any parts of central Pennsylvania? And if someone goes back to red, any idea how long that would last?
Well, so we are hopeful that, as the governor has been pointing out, is that individuals and businesses in the yellow zone, in the caution zone, will be doing the right thing, will continue to practice social distancing, continue to practice wearing masks, continue to telework when possible, and to avoid any large gatherings. And I think that we are hopeful that those counties and towns, et cetera, in those counties won't have to go from yellow to red. But we're going to be doing our testing. We're going to be doing our case investigations and contact tracing of positive cases and trying to prevent clusters from turning into outbreaks. However, if outbreaks do occur, then we will move those areas from yellow back to red. It's hard for me to tell you how long that would be. We've said all along that the virus determines the timeline. We don't determine the timeline. So it would be as long as necessary to control that outbreak, and then we'd go back to yellow.
Also from WKOK, does the state plan to do any random testing of individuals during any of the phases?
Well, so the state doesn't plan to be doing testing of asymptomatic individuals at this time. I think that that'll be a very useful population-based surveillance technique in the future. But right now, especially with our new phase reopening plan, we're going to be concentrating on symptomatic individuals. However, as we discussed earlier this week, hospitals and health systems in much of Pennsylvania are going to be doing more non-emergent procedures, you know, procedures that needed to be done for individuals' health but did not meet the criteria for an emergency. But they're going to be doing those procedures, and they've probably even started. To do that, we are recommending that they test all of those individuals before the procedure happens to make sure they don't have COVID-19. By definition, these individuals are asymptomatic, or they wouldn't be having that procedure. As that rolls out, I think that that's going to provide some very useful surveillance data for us about asymptomatic people.
For Dr. Levine from WPXI, at long-term care facilities, does the department approve of COVID-positive patients living in the same room with patients who have tested negative? Wouldn't that put patients who are negative at greater risk of contracting this deadly disease, especially if they have other risk factors?
We would not want COVID-positive patients to be in the same room with someone who is COVID-negative, and that would not meet our guidelines. So we are working with long-term care living facilities, nursing homes and long-term care living facilities on those guidelines and on infection control procedures and to cohort positive patients separately from negative patients.
Our next questions are for the governor. Governor, from the Capital Star, with the state now facing a $2.2 billion revenue deficit, are you planning at all to adjust your budget to consider temporary budget measures?
For the budget year that we're in right now, we've already looked and implemented downsizing efforts, and we will continue to look for ways to stay within the budget that was set down last June. In terms of the next year's budget, the budget for 2020 and 2021, we will be looking at working with the legislature to develop it with the understanding that revenues are certainly down and will be continue to be down in the fourth quarter of this fiscal year.
From Spotlight PA, will local or state government buildings in yellow counties reopen, and how about courts?
Yeah, in the yellow counties, the government offices will reopen. But again, we would ask them to follow the guidelines, not our guidelines as much as the guidelines of the constraints laid down by the virus. Social distancing, to the extent that telework can be done, it ought to be done. To the extent that they can do things remotely, those things ought to be done. If we don't, then we will not be able to stay healthy. In terms of the courts run their own systems. And again, we have guidelines, and they ought to be following the same guidelines that all the rest of us follow, and that is keeping people safe.
We have two questions from WJAC about opening up Center County. Governor Wolf, viewers in the WJAC coverage area want to know why the hardest hit county in our 10-county area, Center County, is being transferred into the yellow phase with nearly 100 cases when there are counties with less than 40 cases still remaining in red.
Again, we have made decisions based on the overall new case count. And Center County qualified. They also have capacities in Center County that maybe other counties don't have to deal with problems. They have capacity for testing. They have capacity for contact tracing that other counties might not have. So when we looked at all of the things that go into making this very complicated decision with the goal of keeping Pennsylvanians safe, we figured that we estimated that Center County, like the other 23 counties that I listed, that they could actually move into the yellow zone and do so successfully.
From Erie News Now, why will retail stores be allowed to open, but hair and nail salons that could have less people inside not be allowed to open?
Maybe we should let Dr. Levine answer that.
Well, so those facilities such as hair salons, barbershop, nail salons, massage parlors, et cetera, aren't opening because it is impossible to practice social distancing when you have a hands-on treatment. And so for barbers and hairdressers, you're going to be with that person. You're going to be, shampooing and cutting their hair. For massage therapists, for your nails, you're going to be with those people. And so let's look at a scenario. If someone was asymptomatic and they were the person working in the hair salon, they would see, perhaps one person an hour, eight patients a day, and be working 5-6 days a week. They could expose a whole bunch of patients to COVID-19. And then those patients expose other patients, and that's how we get clusters and outbreaks. So even though there might not be that many customers in the salon, it's impossible to practice the social distancing that we're discussing when you're performing those functions. And so that's why they are going to remain closed until we get to a green zone time.
Secretary, a similar question from Erie News Now about movie theaters, also from Fox 53. Movie theaters are still closed in the yellow phases, but does this also include drive-in movie theaters?
Drive-in movie theaters, if they're able to practice the social distancing with people in their cars, as well as with the employees, would be able to remain open. But we want to make sure that they are practicing all of the measures that we have been discussing.
Governor, question for you. What do you think about Mitch McConnell's suggestion that rather than providing more federal money, states should be allowed to file for bankruptcy?
Yeah, I disagree with Senator McConnell.
And also from News Talk 104.1, Governor, is there any consideration being given to having most, if not all, Pennsylvania in yellow and green by the June 2nd election?
No, the June 2nd election is not a deadline. Again, the pace that this happens, this takes place, is being driven by the virus, not by anything that we do here at the government.
From Center Square, Governor Wolf, will you sign the bill that gives waivers to all lawn and garden centers?
No.
And from Lehigh Valley Live, can you please provide an indication of how long it will be until the Northeast and Southeast regions can realistically expect to move to the yellow phase? Is it a matter of weeks or months?
That's a great question, and it really is determined by how fast we contain this virus. Again, the timetable, the schedule is not being set by us. It's being set by the virus. And to the extent we can all work together, practicing social distancing, practicing stay at home, practicing idea of wearing a mask, all those things, washing our hands, to the extent we do those things, we can speed up this process and make it go faster than it would otherwise go. We control our destiny here.
From the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Pennsylvania Chapter of Foster Care Alumni of America sent a letter to you asking to take a number of actions to ensure youth who are in the system, as well as those who are aging out, are protected from the pandemic. Do you have a response to this letter or a plan to take any of these actions?
Yes, certainly plan to take action. We, as you know, we created the Vulnerable Populations Task Force, and Department of Human Services really has the direct responsibility for that, and I think they're working on the formal response right now. But there's a broad recognition that when it comes to foster care and other vulnerable populations, we have a lot of work to do, and we will do everything we can to address the unique needs of that particular vulnerable population.
From WFMZ, a Berks County commissioner is asking that you reconsider your county-by-county approach to reopening and instead allow businesses across the state to reopen dependent on their ability to effectively mitigate the spread of COVID-19. What are your thoughts on that alternative approach?
Yeah, we took a very measured and deliberate approach to closing the state down. We did it county by county, and we looked at different business sectors, and we have done that as we've reopened. We've done it county by county, but we've also opened businesses all across the state, starting right from the start with essential businesses. But as you know, today is the first day people can play golf. We've opened, we were there for the first day of fishing season. So we have looked at businesses all across the state. But I think the way we're doing this in this measured, logical, evidence-based way is the right way to proceed.
From Knowledge is Power, your administration is working on assuring that everyone has food security during this crisis. Will your administration consider also expanding Medicaid?
I did expand Medicaid.
From the PLS reporter, Governor, you said that counties in the Southwest and South Central regions may be next to move into the yellow phase. Can, in terms of timeline, lots of questions on timeline. Can you just go over that point one more time for us?
Yeah, the issue in the Southwest, there are a couple. One again, we're starting with the point of view of keeping people safe. The second thing is we have certain constraints over the ability to do the things we need to do to help these yellow areas stay yellow and maybe move into the green range as quickly as possible, things like contact tracing. That takes people. It takes infrastructure. And so we're somewhat limited by what we can do to help. To the extent the folks in the Southwest can help in this process, we can go faster rather than slower.
Questions are for the Secretary. Dr. Levine, we have several outlets, including the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Philadelphia Inquirer, asking questions about the contact tracing plan. First, the state has talked about, First, is the state going to hire additional people to do contact tracing work, and if so, how many?
Well, so we're going to be taking this in a very measured approach. We're going to be doing the contact tracing. Our community health nurses in those counties that don't have their own health departments, they will be lead. But we're also going to be working with local officials. We'll be working with hospitals and health systems in that area. In certain areas, we have public health students that will be helping us. But, yes, we do plan to hire people when needed. I don't have a specific number. We're going to take that on a county county basis, but when we need to hire people, we will hire them.
And then also from the Philadelphia Inquirer on this topic, how many people does the state currently have working on contact tracing? How many have been newly hired? And again, do you have a number of contact traces to meet federal guidelines per capita, or will you need more?
I don't have a specific number of people in the state that are doing contact tracing, but we've outlined who those people are. And then I'm sure that we will need more people as more and more counties go from red to yellow, and we'll be hiring as necessary. I don't have a specific number how we're going to hire, but we want to have a balance between getting all the people we need, but we want to be fiscally conscious as well. And so we'll be working with the governor's office on making the right decisions.
From the morning call, with about 66% of the deaths across the state associated with long-term care facilities, can you give an update on any scrutiny you've given to those places?
Mm-hmm. So we are very, very concentrated on long-term care living facilities such as nursing homes and personal care homes and other congregate settings. You are correct. It is where thousands of individuals, patients and staff, have contracted COVID-19, and where almost 2,000 two-thirds of our deaths are located. So in addition to the guidance that we have put out, we discussed the guidance in a question earlier, we are working with those facilities to push out personal protective equipment. We actually just had a push out of N95 masks this week, and we want to make sure that they have the N95 masks necessary, as well as the surgical masks, the gowns, the gloves, and whatever is necessary to take care of patients. We'll make sure that we can provide that. In addition, we are doing significant testing in those facilities. We are not testing randomly. We're not testing asymptomatic individuals at this time, but we are testing all symptomatic patients and symptomatic staff to make a diagnosis of COVID-19. For those staff who are that are positive, then they will be isolated at home and no longer working at the facility until they completely recover. For residents that are positive, if they are medically stable, they will remain in the facility, but we will work to cohort those patients separate from non-COVID-19 patients, and we'll work to make sure that they get the medical treatment they need. For those that are very ill, they will, of course, be then transferred to the hospital. We have our own staff that are working with those facilities in terms of isolation procedures and infectious disease procedures, and we talk with them almost every day. In addition, we have contracted with ECRI, a consultant, to also do that. And we are actually dedicating some staff, including our CDC officer that is embedded here at the Pennsylvania Department of Health, to basically take over that entire project to make sure that we are doing absolutely everything we possibly can to help long-term care facility residents and staff.
From ABC 27, studies have shown a number of COVID cases are asymptomatic. Can the reopening plan work if we're only testing people who are symptomatic? And are there plans to eventually open up testing to anyone who may not show obvious symptoms?
So eventually, we would like to do that type of population-based surveillance testing. If on a clinical basis, it's not that useful, because you could test negative one day and then be exposed the next day and test positive several days later. So you'd have to do it on a regular basis. So it's kind of aspirational. We have had now actually some extensive discussions with the governor about what we would need to be able to do that. What companies do we need to work with? What tests would we need? We would need a pretty rapid bedside or home test, or a point of care test at a doctor's office that can be done in minutes instead of hours or days, and we'd have to do that frequently. So we are discussing that. We're going to work with the Department of Community and Economic Development on incentivizing those type of companies, and we eventually do want to do that type of testing.
From WHYY, Governor Wolf once mentioned that Pennsylvania is exploring manufacturing its own test. Is that any closer to happening, and where are we getting our tests right now?
Well, the Pennsylvania Department of Health would not manufacture its own tests, but Pennsylvania as a commonwealth has companies that can manufacture tests, and I just kind of discussed that. So we're going to work with DCNR and the governor's office on incentivizing that type of research and development of that type of testing capability. Right now, we're using a whole bunch of different tests at the Department of Health. Really, we've been using any of the tests for which we have platforms that we can get reagents. I've said before that actually we are doing much better in terms of getting all of those supplies. In addition, hospitals and health systems, some have developed their own tests, others have purchased tests, and then we have our commercial laboratories, such as Quest and LabCorp and some other laboratories that have their own tests. So there's quite an eclectic range of different tests being done in Pennsylvania.
And then, Secretary, a question from Penn Live. Experts say it's critical for anyone feeling symptoms to quickly get tested. To what extent will this be possible? Do you plan on stressing this to people, and if so, when?
Yes. Well, we've been stressing that all week, that we want anyone who has symptoms of COVID-19 to get tested. And we're trying to make that accessible and much easier to be tested, particularly in those quite rural counties that we've discussed that are going from red to yellow. So we're going to be working on a number of different ways with hospitals and health systems, with with potentially pharmacies such as Rite Aid and perhaps others, mobile testing sites, et cetera, to try to make it as easy as possible for anybody who is symptomatic to get a test. But not only in those areas, we want anyone in Pennsylvania who is having symptoms consistent with COVID-19 to get a test so we can make an accurate diagnosis.
Our last question is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The state had talked about moving regions to yellow as a group. This list does not appear to follow regions strictly. Why did you not move entire regions to yellow, but some counties in those regions?
Mm-hmm. Well, the governor had said all along that we were sort of looking in regions, but we're looking particularly at the counties. I know we had put out our scheme from the Pennsylvania Department of Health. That was more just an example of sort of how we might look at things. But as the governor said all along, we're going to be looking at each of those counties to make sure that they meet both the metrics, some of the metrics that we publish. We also did get data from academics and in terms of different modeling, Carnegie Mellon University, as well as the other factors, as the governor has mentioned, contact tracing and testing capabilities. And then we made our recommendations, and then the governor, of course, made the final decisions about which counties would go from red to yellow.
Thank you, Secretary.